Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Do you find yourself complaining about the weather? When David watched a storm sweep down over Israel, it inspired him to praise instead of murmuring. He then called upon the heavenly host to worship the Lord in recognition of his glory as revealed in the storm. But know this, a single word of his powerful voice can calm any meteorological storm or any personal storm in your life. Please open your Bible to Psalm 29 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola discusses this Psalm of David.
Psalm 29. Let me read it and we'll go through it quickly. Give unto the Lord, all you mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. My brother and his wife wrote a song on that. Those verses. Should have asked him to come tonight and play it, huh? Well, anyways. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve and discovers the forests. And in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sits upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sits king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Wow. The Global Bible Study note for the introduction of Psalm 29 says this. This is a hymn of praise to God for his awesome power. A thunderstorm serves as a visible representation of God's majestic voice. It seems reasonable to suppose that setting the psalm in a thunderstorm deliberately places Yahweh over Baal, the storm god that was widely worshipped in Syria and Palestine. God created the phenomena of nature. They serve his purposes. They demonstrate his wisdom, his glory, his faithfulness, and are even expressions of his love. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. You mighty, you sons of God, the angels. The angels are commanded to give unto the Lord the glory that belongs his name. How much more you and I? Being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, give unto the Lord the glory. Give him glory. Give him praise. Give him the glory that is due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. God's holiness is beautiful. How God defines beauty and how the world defines beauty are like light and darkness. And holiness essentially means what? Wholeness. When you and I recognize God in his holiness, when we praise him for his holiness, and when we purpose to walk in a worshipful relationship with him, that wholeness, the very DNA of who we are as human beings is discovered. It says in his temple, everyone speaks of his glory. In Revelation 4:8, the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You and I are going to step into that scene one of these days. And you know, I think about worship in the perfect place, the perfect in heaven. These heavenly creatures crying, Holy, 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 are not programmed to worship. It's not like they're dimming lights, trying to create an atmosphere. Their praise of God is a natural response to the overwhelming sense of his presence and the beauty of his holiness. You see, true spontaneous worship of the Lord takes place whenever and wherever we acknowledge his manifold beauties and perfections. I don't want to bum you guys out, but this place that we get to stay at is when we go to Florida is right on the beach of the Gulf of Mexico. Now, I usually get up a little earlier than my wife. That's not a knock. She's an owl, and I'm a rooster. And one of the most beautiful things is to get up in the morning and to just open the slide door and step in the patio and look at the sun rising over the waters and just lift up your hands and begin to worship. Say, Lord, you did all of that and I didn't help you one bit. You never asked me for assistance. I mean, you just lit up the whole morning sky and you're watching the waves and you're saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, you are so wonderful. You are so beautiful. You are so perfect. See, thank God that we can worship within the context of what we're doing tonight. This is beautiful. This is wonderful. But you can worship God in your car. You can worship God when you're working out at the gym. You can worship God when you're rocking your grandbaby. You can worship God when you're walking down the street. All you need to do is be aware of His almighty presence. And how can you not worship? The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 15, that we are to offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You see, giving God glory is not giving Him something that He does not need, like we need gas in the car to keep us going. Giving God glory is giving Him the very thing that is the essence of His being. He is glorious. He's simply glorious. It says in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. If you're ever feeling bummed out, discouraged, down and out, just start thanking Him. Just start praising Him. But I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter. We don't praise Him because we feel like it. We praise Him because of who He is. We worship Him because of who He is. Lord, you are awesome. You are great. You are good. You are glorious. You are majestic. You are holy. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. And I can tell you, if any demon is harassing you, he's going to get out of there in a New York second. The glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God. I think of Moses. Remember Moses? He was there on Mount Sinai. And the Lord says, I'm going to reveal myself to you. And there's Moses in the cleft of the rock. And then God walked by and he proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression. Moses says, I want to be in your presence. I'd rather be in your presence in the wilderness than be in the promised land without you. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. And then he begins to talk about the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. Adam Clark says the whole psalm is employed in describing the effects produced by a thunderstorm which had taken place. You know, and now the scientists, and this isn't a knock on, science is a wonderful thing. But science can only reveal so much. What men call second causes is really God in action. You know, they talk about the laws of nature. David saw lightning and thunder as expressions of the power of the living God, not expressions of the law of silence and science, and certainly not Mother Nature. You know, there's such a contrast coming back from Florida, white sand to white snow. And so we're thinking that his thoughts towards us are more numerable than the grains of sand. And then we come back and we're reminded that where his word comes down from heaven like snow comes down and waters us. Equally glorious. You see, all life and power belongs to the Almighty. Infinite, the Almighty, infinite, invisible God who in the beginning said, let there be. And the universe isn't keeping itself running. It's not self-sustaining. By Him all things consist. Our God, your God, my God, the one that we cry out to, He is what's keeping everything going and everything in place. Isn't that incredible? And we call Him Dad.
and he wants us to call him dad. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. It's recorded 7 times. One commentator says, if a mighty thunderstorm raging over the ocean can inspire fear and awe, how much more should the Lord who controls it by the power of his word? Remember when Jesus told the disciples, let's get in the boat and go over to the other side, and then there was a storm? And they were all freaking out. Ah, God, don't you care that we perish? And he says, why are you fearful, you of little faith? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? You see, Jesus Christ is the God of the storm. And yet here's another thing. One word from him tonight can turn your greatest storm into your greatest calm. One word. It's over. That's it. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. God's voice, full of power, full of majesty. And the very same power and majesty of creation is the power and majesty that breathed new life into you. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. Been told that the cedars of Lebanon are these giant trees that grow to 120 feet in height and are 30 feet in circumference, and God's voice can split them just like you split firewood for your fireplace. Lebanon and Syrian, two principal mountains of Palestine. Verse 7, the voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. I love this. I just found this out. New for me, maybe not for you. This is the psalm that was read in the temple on the first day of the Feast of Pentecost. And isn't it interesting that in Acts chapter 2, cloven tongues of fire appeared, and the voice of the Lord was heard in a miraculous way when 120 in the upper room began to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ in languages they didn't know. Isn't that a wonderful coincidence? The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. And then the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Sometimes the Lord, when he speaks, he shakes things up. You know what I'm talking about? Shakes them up. And that made me think of Hebrews 12. It says in verse 25, see thee refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turned away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. Isn't that great? You know why? Because we serve a king who can't be moved. And because we have received the kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. God can shake things up. He's shaking things up in our nation. He's shaking things up in his church all around the world. God's shaking things up. You know why? Because he's going to come back and he's going to speak his voice. You know, people talk about the Big Bang. It's going to happen at the end, not at the beginning. We receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The voice of the Lord, verse 9, beloved, makes the hinds the calf and discovers the forest. And in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. Remember Isaiah chapter 6? The Lord is caught up before the throne. What does he hear? Worship. Remember when John is caught up before the throne of God in Revelation 4 and Revelation 5? What does he hear? Worship. Everyone in his temple speaks of his glory. But this is what challenges me. You are the temple of God. You're the temple of God. You know what that means? From you and from me should be sounding praises of worship and glory to him. Because if we don't worship him, the rocks will cry out. Verse 10. The Lord sits upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sits king forever. The Hebrew word for flood here was the same word that was used of the worldwide flood in Noah's day. It's interesting that the Hebrew word for flood is found 13 times in the Bible. And every single time, it's always used in connection to man's rebellion and turning away from God. And yet, sitting as king tonight, the Lord Jehovah rules even over the darkest times of evil and will one day bring it to an end. I love this phrase. Above the furious flood, the enthroned one reigns. Tonight, in your life, in my life, in this nation, the Lord reigns. Aren't you glad? The Democrats don't reign. The Republicans don't reign. The independents don't reign. The Lord reigns. He rules. He reigns over all. And then we end with this, verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Charles Spurgeon said this, if you are a believer, this last verse is your heritage, and surely that will get you singing. It will, right? The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. I don't know about you, but I mentally can just go all over the place if I'm not focused. And so what I do is I just have 3x5 cards everywhere, in my car, everywhere, probably somewhere else. Because when I begin to go where my mind ought not to be going, I'm not just talking about, you know, horrible things. I'm just talking about, boy, I wish you could hit a baseball 550 yards or something. What's the point, you know? I'll get out these cards. I'll be at a stoplight. I found it's better for me to take out one of those 3x5 cards at a stoplight than rather counting how long is it going to take before we get going. And this is one of my memory verses. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. He will do it. He'll give you strength. He gives you strength. He gives you peace. But here's what I thought is really interesting. The strength available to God's people in verse 11 is his own strength that was mentioned in verse 1. They're the same Hebrew words. The same word. The very same strength. Read the Apostle Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. According to verses 19 and 20, the very same power that raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the highest place of honor and authority is available for you and me tonight. Some of you are choking on that, aren't you? Isn't that an incredible promise? The very same God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and exalted him to the right hand of the Father dwells in you and promises he will give you that power. Isn't that an incredible promise? So when you feel weak and limited, and we are, it's not by might nor by our power, it's by his Spirit. Then the Lord will bless his people with peace. How many of you could use a little bit of peace tonight? Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, agitated, disturbed. Don't let it be afraid. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Peace, peace. The last word of this psalm is peace. It begins with the storm and ends with peace. And God's peace is a peace that passes understanding, which means that I must yield my need to understand. We understand because we believe. We do not believe because we understand. If I want the peace that passes understanding, that I surrender my need. Lord, I don't have to understand. It's beyond what I think. And here's why. As we prepare to close in worship tonight. Because God's peace is not dependent on you or me or outward circumstances. God's peace in the Bible is given to people who have gone through horrible storms of life. Sawn in half like Isaiah. Lion's dens, fiery furnaces, prison cells. And the Lord promises to you and I tonight that we can have peace. But it's not the absence of trouble. It's not the absence of difficulty. It's an awareness of the presence of Jesus Christ. You know, in closing, my wife and I like talking about her. We were, I got lost with a GPS in Florida. Can you imagine that? I got lost. And so we're driving down this road, and Lizzie and I were having a conversation. Yeah. It wasn't heated. It was just a conversation, you know. And I'm just saying, well, you know, sweetie, come on. We don't have to be anywhere tonight. We're just driving, and who knows? So, you know. And so it was like the providence of God. So I put on the high beams. We come to the end of the road, and I go, "What's that sign?" And it said, "Emmanuel Baptist Church." And I said, "See, God's with us." It worked. But seriously, Emmanuel is standing by your side. He's not a fair weather savior. He doesn't stand by your side when things are good and when things get bad. He goes, "I'm out of here." He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never stop loving you. Emmanuel. You see, the peace of God is not the absence of trouble. It's an awareness of the presence of God. You see, the original intention of God for man is to live what? For His glory. The Bible says the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And the glory of God, when we realize that the glory of God is not a doctrine, it's a person. Dwelling with an awareness of the presence of God in His glory. Oh my. In a world as crazy as it is such a precious gift. Redemption restores you and I to the very purpose for why we were created. To live in communion with God and to live for His glory. Amen. Lord, thank You so much for recording these psalms for us. They're so rich. They're so precious. And I trust that tonight, Father, Your Spirit ministered to every heart that was here tonight some nugget of truth or help or encouragement. And for those that are watching online as well. Lord, You sit enthroned upon the universe. You rule. You reign. And we give You glory tonight. And we give You praise tonight. And we give You worship tonight. And we pray for anybody that may be here, anybody that is watching online. They clicked on because they're in some despair, some kind of desperation, thinking that it's over. Lord God, speak to their heart. Rescue them out of that pit of despair and show them that in Christ there is life, there is hope, there is forgiveness, there is mercy. Please touch them. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless His holy, His wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys. Unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.